host back on the Boss Man Show on your radio. We're going to DC, Chocolate City. We with Santaya here with me. She got her businesses going on. We're talking about her hair business. So she got it going on. She ain't dead wrong. What's good with you? How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Doing good. She tells me she's not been to Atlanta ever. It's on her list to come down.
I'm coming.
Tell me, what have you heard about Atlanta? What have you heard about our great city?
I heard that the strip clubs are good. A lot of things stay open late. In DC, a lot of things don't stay open late on my side of town. So most of the stuff is like uptown that stay open really late. But I heard that everything is open late. And y'all have like Waffle House. We don't really have nothing that's open like that down here.
Waffle. Now, I don't eat that stuff.
Why?
Because it's too greasy. It's too
dead. I don't know.
It's too greasy.
I went to Waffle House like once when I was in Tennessee.
I went to school in Tennessee.
I was out there for like a weekend.
Were you in Memphis, Nashville?
It's Nashville, but it's like borderline Kentucky.
Clarksville, maybe?
Clarksville, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's where Austin Peay is, And they got military base up there. I know all about Clarksville.
Yeah, it was slow out there, so.
Very slow. It's still nothing but a small town. All you're doing is tearing down, making fields be houses, subdivisions.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. When I went there, it was not really a culture shock, but I have never seen so much just like open land like that.
Yes, Clarksville is a little small town on two rivers that they just knocked down fields and made subdivisions. That's all they did.
I can tell it's just literally a bunch of nothing.
Yes, a bunch of people who lived up on cheap land and too many people into a little small town. That's why you go to Clarksville, you got to go to any restaurant and be an hour to eat. They got one of everything. One.
Yeah, so, I can tell. So, one Walmart, one restaurant, one gas station. It was literally nothing.
And the mall is crappy too.
It's so like peaceful and serene. You know what I'm saying? I didn't hear no ambulance, no police, or nothing like that.
Yes.
I didn't even hear crickets. That's it.
No doubt. Well, tell me this. You know, you're in your 20s. Your mom, entrepreneur. How's that work being a single mom and entrepreneur doing your thing, building your brand as you've built out here on the IG tip, TikToks, and YouTube?
Well, I try to stay consistent. It's hard to try to like kind of juggle everything. Because when I'm trying to make TikToks, I'm making TikToks at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning when he's sleeping, it's quiet. Like now he's eating, so it's quiet, you know. That's why it was a good time. But my thing is like timing.
I feel that.
Even with doing hair and stuff, you know, you kind of got to try to line everything up. So, yeah, it gets busy and I'll be up, you know, and I'll be up late doing stuff, but it'll pay off eventually. I'm up late editing. When I'm sitting somewhere not doing nothing, I'll be editing videos and stuff like that. So I just have to just try to, you know, I just be up late doing stuff. That's what it is.
No doubt. Well, tell me, what got you into doing hair? Or was it from your mother did it? Or was it childhood, somebody in your family? What got you into wanting to be around the hair business? I know my father was a football coach and a barber.
So and you got into radio.
Yes. Of all things, right?
Yeah. My mom, my mother does hair, my sister does hair, and we all teach each other to do hair. It's a lot of girls in my family. So, you know, it's just like, you do my hair, I'll do yours, you do hers, she do hers, and kind of things. So everybody do each other hair, but wigs and stuff like that, that's really not new because my family is full of, like, braiders. They do the box braids, the cornrows, and the designs, and the zigzags, and everything like that. But wigs is kind of new because that's just a recent thing that's been going on. But I learned about wigs and stuff from YouTube, and then when I got to a certain age and my mother had taught me a lot that I need to know about doing hair, she was just like, I'm not doing your hair no more, you can do your own hair now. And I'm like, what? So when I started to do my own hair, I just learned how to do things from YouTube, and I had locks for a while, and I just recently took out my locks and got back into wigs because it's good for my own promo. It's like, you know what I'm saying? People see me wearing it and they catch me out and it's like, hey, who did your hair? And it's like, I did my hair, you know? And it's just like, works like that.
I'm gonna tell you how ignorant I am. I didn't know that was even a wig. Seriously, I had no
you
idea.
You thought my hair was this color?
Yes, I did. I thought that was a wig. No lie. I'm being dead ass.
That's okay. That's a good thing though. But yeah, this is definitely a wig.
Yeah, like I'm ignorant to this stuff. Like I can't tell a woman got on a wig or real hair. I can't tell.
You know, some guys have preferences though, and they like, you know, I like girls that's natural. I don't like weaves and stuff like that. It's like I'm a new person like every 3 days.
See, I care. See, I'm a little older, so I'm like a little cute face and a nice waist. I'm cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's an older.
So face. I don't get into the hair or some guys being the fingernails. I mean, I don't care. I want you to have what I like. I like curves and I like a cute face. I don't know what thing. I don't care about the color of the toes. I don't care about that mess. You know
the details. Yeah, the details.
Yeah, like I know what I like and I like to be around. So I like look. You ain't got at least that minimum of that. We can't even begin to get started. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's like the minimum requirements. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see. I have no idea, but you know. So wig making or construction of wig. Mm-hmm. What is that process like? Do you like go and like, get a mannequin and you kind of mess with it? How's it all work? Explain it to the tools.
Well, it's really it's like a couple ways that you can do it, and you know when you're moving at a larger pace, it can get kind of busy. So hand making a wig can take like usually it'll take me like 3 or 4 hours, including the sewing and the customizing it and everything like that. It could take up to like 4 hours, which is a super long time when it takes 2 hours for the install. So if I were to make and install my wig in the same day and style it and pictures and all that kind of stuff, it could take me like 6-7 hours to do that. So I try to break it up, but the wig making process usually is done now by, I have hair vendors in China and they'll FaceTime me or I talk to them through WhatsApp and they'll say, hey, you know, we're making this wig. You want to use 3 bundles, you want to use 4. So I can actually be a part of the process of how my units are made. You know what I'm saying? So now that I have been moving on a bigger scale, I have a hair vendor make the wigs for me. So when they come to me, I just put a magic touch on them and make them look, you know, from a 2 to a 10, I bring it to life, you know, so that most of my time is not spent into hand stitching. When you do make handmade wigs, it's a lot of love in every stitch, but it's just really time consuming.
And so folks can come to your web, Instagram, and get them from you directly. Is that how you work and you mail it out to them? So how can people get your wigs that you're making?
Well, I consider working through a website. I did operate through a website for like maybe a month. And it was like Wix or something, and I just operate through my phone and go and ship out orders, and that was okay. But this was during the time of the pandemic where a lot of credit card fraud stuff was going on, and I just didn't want to be. Yeah, I didn't want to be a part of that with my business being online and operating. And a lot of my clients are in my area because they want to be serviced too. So the website didn't work. But another reason too why I don't like to operate through a website right now for my business is because I feel like when I'm direct messaging people, I usually text or DM my clients, but I feel like if I'm DMing and texting you, it's a little bit more personal so that people can feel comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Because if I would hate to feel like I'm booking a hair appointment through a robot, that's how I feel when I book through a website. So I really rather talk to my clients so they can be in detail on what they want. And they say, well, I don't want the red to be here. I want it to start right here. You know what I'm saying? You can't really do that when you book through a website. So I feel like we build kind of a connection and a trust within our business relationship like that.
Same on the radio side. I try to do it via text. So I try to give everybody my number. So look, this is my phone number, hit me up and we can figure out times, dates, or email, because my email, everybody know my email does delayed, so everybody knows I get so much emails every day, like okay, I'll you know, so I couldn't get to you real quick. So I get so many a day, right? So but
yeah, I understand,
make it happen. So yeah, like you say, like for me, like I talk, y'all can text me or FaceTime me or whatever the case may be, we can figure out the segment, you know what I'm saying? So I'm with you on that, because a personal touch makes people feel loved, like you really care. It's not just a transaction. No, it is, but it's not just a transaction per se. And so for you, my dad's a barber, so how was like getting to in salons, you know, servicing people, going to people, having them come to you? How fun is that for you, that interaction with your customer and getting there, make them leave with happy thoughts that, hey, she made my hair, made me look good. I can go out to my day, go to my event and, you know, go see my boo thing or my Jody, whatever the case may be. I say we make somebody feel good like that.
Well, I would say, like, a big part of that for me is really, like, talking to my clients. It's a lot of my clients that I have a professional relationship with because we do business together, but at the same time, it's almost like we're friends, like how guys are in the barbershop and you kind of get to talk, you get to vent a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Aside from them leaving with a good hairstyle and they happy and feeling more confident, they feel pretty, but they also feel like, ooh, I just needed to talk. You know what I'm saying? A lot of my clients will just be about to get their hair done for their birthday and they makeup artist can't. So they kind of get to vent a little bit when they come talk to me. You know what I'm saying? So I talk to a lot of my clients on a personal level. So they would almost feel like they know me, you know?
No doubt. And so I'm asking you, how do you see yourself expanding over the next year? Because I know with the pandemic, going digital made it like, you know, even a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. Look here, we're on Zoom. I don't know what Zoom was to last year.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what a Zoom even was. I know no clue. So look at that. We're doing this on video now, interviews now via video for you. Mm-hmm. Can you see expanding your brand views on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram to even expand your brand, get more clients, you know, connect with more people overseas to get more hair coming in. So tell me about your plans for the future now.
So my plans for the future, I do want to continue to do TikTok. I've been on TikTok really consistently for probably like 2 months and I have 20,000 followers on there. And that's ridiculous. That's more than I even have on Instagram. That's a lot to gain in such a little bit of time. So I'm just going to be consistent with TikTok. And I'll do a lot of different things. So I've been really focusing on how to get more than one type of income, you know what I'm saying, by doing the things that I like. So I do YouTube, so that'll be like a form of income, but it's really all like, I just want to kind of grow in all of my medias. You know, my goal is to be like some type of influencers, like who people I look up to and like, as far as like on their pages and their Instagrams and how they, you know, how they move and how they post and stuff like that. It's like Ari, you know, Ari, Jada, stuff like that. So I want to work with more brands. I just recently made a business email and I have brands reaching out that want to do collaborations and promos and stuff like that. I've been looking into being like brand ambassadors to helping other people grow their brands with the following that I grew, you know, stuff like that. But I do want to move eventually. I don't know within the next year because I'm still kind of like getting out there, but I would want to move to Atlanta. Like a lot of people do, a lot of DC people move to Atlanta, but it's on my to-do list. I think it's more opportunities for like hair and growth than me. Yeah. Especially I could do so much networking.
And you know, me being here, I know people who can help you. I mean, me being mm-hmm. here. So mm-hmm. you have a friend in me already coming to Atlanta. I'll make sure you're good. I know people around here. You know, I do sports, as you know, but I got my ear in the streets too.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been just looking at a bunch of different ways to kind of like relate to more people, you know?
No doubt. Well, let me ask you this. So tell me about the DC lifestyle, you know? I come into town to a Wizards game and I'm out. So mm-hmm. I don't be in there very long to enjoy DC. So tell us about DC. For us Atlanta people who don't know about DC, tell us about DC up there.
Well, it is what you make it. You know, it's not a small city, but it's kind of like a lot of people know, you know, people know people. So it's like split into four quadrants. So it's, I mean, and within like 45 minutes you can be anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Where I live at is southeast, but I can be up by the White House in 45 minutes, probably not even that. But DC is not that big. A lot of people know each other. I grew up in Maryland, but I went to high school in DC for 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And so it's, I think that a lot of people just kind of think it's like, oh, it's just the White House and probably Georgetown and Howard and whatever. But it's not really like that. It gets a little unchy over the side.
I know. So you're like in the 8th Ward or 7th Ward?
7th Ward, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of know about the little ward system, my sister. So I kind of know about a little something about it. I'm typically, like I said, down by the Capital One Arena. Or mm-hmm. I go to Georgetown or Rock Creek Park. Or mm-hmm. go over the line to where
Bethesda, like Alexandria and Tyson's Corner and stuff like that.
Yeah, I go to over to Fairfax too, because my man coached George Mason across the water in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of know a little bit about it, but I don't get to really enjoy it because I said we at the hotel. I'm in and I'm out, but you know.
Yeah, you got a lot of nice places in DC, but those are like Northwest DC where they have like a lot of tourists come. A lot of our hotels are down there and stuff like that. that's where everything nice is. Well, I ain't gonna say everything nice, but a lot of the nice things are kind of like on one side of town.
Yeah, I had to go to Landover to cover the what's the team called now? I can't say the old name, the Washington.
To the casino?
They
changed the name, Washington.
Football team. Yeah. I've been to Landover before to cover mm-hmm. the Redskins. Whatever, that's how I know them at, the Redskins.
Okay. Yeah, Landover is in Maryland. It's like borderline D.C. It's like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, Silver Spring and all that stuff. So, yeah. So, yeah, I got to come up there and enjoy D.C. when I have some time to myself, you know. But
Yeah. You can do, when I go out of town, I like to see the nice part of town, but I also want to see, like, the rough side of town, too. Not rough, but, you know, I just kind of want to see to compare. I went to L.A. this year for a couple days for the first time, and it was like almost in the same setting. I could see like the mansions and houses and the hills, and then in the same view I can look down and see all of these tents. It was just like everything in one, you know.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well look forward to having you back on the show. If you want to come to promote some, let me know, and then of course you come to Atlanta, let me know. And mm-hmm. I will make sure you have a good time while you're here and get some people in contact with you to help you out as well. So good to have you on the show. It. Look forward to doing this again with you real soon. And go enjoy your son when he comes in. Mm-hmm. Father issues. I know when you're on time, we got a kid, man. I know how it is. Uh-huh. So thank you again for your time. Let's do it again real soon. You be safe now, okay?
All right. Thank you. I'm out.
See ya. Peace. Be easy now.
Yeah, all right.